So Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to read just one verse. Verse number 13. So Proverbs 25, beginning in verse number 13, it says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for all you've done for us. And we just thank you again that we can come together this day to worship you and gather around your word and have fellowship one with another. And we just pray your blessings upon us this day through your word, Lord. Just illuminate our understanding that we might see what you desire of us, and that in all things you would enable us to be faithful. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Christian life is much more than just receiving a get-out-of-hell free card. We're not just saved from something. We also understand we are saved for something. That in the Scriptures we find that as believers that we're referred to by various terms. We're referred to as servants of the Lord. We're referred to as ministers of God. As we kind of began this study on faithfulness, we saw the idea that we're stewards of the mysteries of God and of the grace of God. We also see in other places referred to as ambassadors for Christ. All of these are positions in which we as believers, we've been given a mandate from God to accomplish His will under and according to His authority. And as well in these positions, we have various responsibilities that we are to fulfill. And furthermore, with that authority and with that responsibility placed upon us, we also know that there will one day be a day in which God will hold us accountable as to how we used or abused our authority, as to how we fulfilled or failed to fulfill our responsibilities. And even in the thought of us being children of God, and more specifically called the sons of God, it comes with the expectation that we are to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to our former lusts, but we're to be holy as God is holy, that we're to be walking as children of light. And we think of it as Christ, the Son of God, exemplifies, who is our example, that we have been given, as it says, as may have received Him, have been given the power to become the sons of God. And we have the idea that doesn't just mean name only, but it's the idea that all of us, whether male or female, that we have this role of being sons of God, of being heirs with Christ. And it's the sense that we serve as representatives of the Father in that position, that we fulfill His will, we speak in His name, and we speak with His authority. And so in all these various facets of what we are to be as believers, we recognize that we want to be found faithful. Faithful servants, as it speaks, as Jesus spoke of in Matthew, that whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find so doing. Faithful stewards, faithful ambassadors, faithful children to our Heavenly Father. And in addition, or perhaps included in all those different concepts of what we are to be and what we are to do as believers, we recognize as well that God wants us to be His messengers. And thus, in the same way, we understand that if God wants us to be His messengers, we have God's authority to be His messengers. We have the responsibility to be His messengers. And as well, we're accountable to God as to how we fulfill that role as messengers. And we see, first of all, the authority that God is given unto us for us to be His messengers. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, we have the passage that is known as the Great Commission. And it begins with the words, Jesus came and spake unto us, this is verse number 18, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And as we've looked at this passage before, we recognize that the Greek word translated here as power is exousia, which speaks of power not in the sense of strength, although that would be true. It speaks of power in the sense of authority. And so it's based on that power, that authority, that all authority has been given unto the Lord in heaven and earth. Based upon that, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And so it's that idea that we see that he's given us a mandate. He's given us, based upon his authority, to go out and fulfill the Great Commission of teaching people, baptizing those that come to Christ, and then discipling them in the faith. We see as well in John chapter 20, verse 21, that as he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, John 20:21, he says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And we think in those terms of as the Father sent the Son to declare the truth to mankind, that's what we're to do, that we are sent by the Son to fulfill the same role, in a sense of sharing them the truth, showing them who God is and how to come unto him. And as well in Acts 1 and verse 8, we see the Lord say to his disciples, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so it's the thought that we are authorized by God, we are mandated by God, we are sent by God to declare God's truth to others, that we're to be witnesses of Christ where we are presently. And then it's the sense that as a church, as churches, that we're to eventually seek to try to reach the world for Christ. That's our mandate. That's what he wants us to do. That we start where we are and then eventually we spread to the furthest corners of the globe. And we've been given a message from the Lord. It's the word as a whole we understand as our message. We recognize the gospel in our particular is the message we want to give. These are the words of life. And is the glorious gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so as Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 16:15, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's the same idea that's what we are to seek to do. And we see that in the very nature of things in Acts, of how all the believers of the church in Jerusalem, even though they faced great persecution and were scattered abroad, we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And so that's the thought, that wherever we go as believers, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is sharing God's word, preaching the word, declaring its truth to other people. And so all of us thus have that authority from God to be his messengers. But we recognize too that we also have the responsibility to be the Lord's messengers. We read in Romans chapter 10, and verse number 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we see immediately after that, the questions are asked, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And we think of it as he says further, verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That people cannot believe in the truth if they don't know what the truth is. They can't come to accept the gospel if they've never heard the gospel. They're not going to call on the name of the Lord if they've never even heard the name of the Lord. That it's necessary. And so we have the responsibility to tell everyone that we can of the truth of God's word as a whole, and of the gospel in particular, so that all might have the opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And we see Paul testify in verse 23 of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." That from that we get this idea which is to us almost unfathomable, but it says that in his time and his generation that the gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And to think of that, that as believers, as they worked together and had reached out to different places and tried to spread the gospel, that they accomplished that of preaching the gospel to every creature under heaven without the transportation and communication systems that we have today. That when we think of that, what a challenge it lays down to us today with so many resources at our disposal to do the same, to seek to circle the earth once again with the gospel. And so that is what God has called us to do. But then thirdly, we recognize that since we have been given the responsibility to be the Lord's messengers, we are also accountable to God for how we fulfill that responsibility as well. And so in Ezekiel chapter 33, we see this principle given. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him before their watchmen, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. That if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." And so we see the seriousness of that and of the responsibility of that. And it's the same way as Ezekiel was set as a watchman over the house of Israel, that in the same way we could say that we're set up as watchmen over our community, over people that are around us, that we hear God's words, we know that there is judgment to come, and we have to provide people warning of that judgment. If we have what people need, if we're mandated by God to give them what they need and we don't do that, is it only reasonable that God would expect us to answer for that? And thus, in the responsibilities God has called us to as his messengers, as in all areas of the Christian life that we've talked about thus far, we want to be found faithful. We want to be found faithful as messengers of the Lord for our own sakes. We don't want to have that on our consciences, that we had the life-giving message that a person needed, and we had the opportunity to tell them, and we didn't do that. We think as well, we want to be found faithful as messenger of the Lord for the sake of others that are around us. They need someone to share with them the truth of the gospel. The gospel is their only hope. And so we want to be faithful for their sake. But as well, I think most of all, we want to be found faithful as messengers of the Lord for the Lord's sake. And as we read in the verse we began with in Proverbs 25 and verse number 13, It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. It's kind of, as we understand here, many of us kind of being, we maybe haven't been in the midst of harvest, but we've been around it, that when harvest comes, it's always such a very busy time. And I remember this year that the harvest was going well, and we had great weather this last year. I remember talking with this one guy, and he was like, I kind of hope we have rain on the weekend, because I could use a break. He just wanted to be able to have that, and if it came, he wasn't going to be upset. He was going to be happy. And why? Because it would be a chance to be refreshed. And it's the same idea that we want to be refreshing to our Lord, to the one that sends us. And we think of it, he has done so much for us, he has been so faithful to us, and he gives us this responsibility by his grace, and we so much want to bring joy to our Savior and Lord by being a faithful messenger unto him. But for most of us here, if not for all of us here, we wonder, well, how can I do that? How can I be a messenger for the Lord? I know that I should be a messenger, but as we try to go out and do it, it just seems so hard to do sometimes. We know we have a message to proclaim, but a lot of times when we do try to get it out, it just comes out all jumbled, and it just seems so ineffective. It doesn't seem like we're accomplishing anything. And we realize it's a tremendous calling, a tremendous responsibility for each of us to be messenger of the Lord. But we wonder, well, how can we truly and faithfully fulfill that responsibility, as well as all the other responsibilities that we've outlined in the last several weeks? And how that we do that is a question I hope to begin to answer more fully in the next week's message. But for today, we want to try to break down what is our responsibility as messengers of the Lord. Because as we see it all at once, it can be a bit overwhelming. But seeing our responsibilities in their constituent parts helps, I think, to have a better idea of how and what we are to be faithful in. And Jesus gave this principle in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Luke 16 in verse 10, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And it's kind of the thought that when we're faithful in the little things, in time to come we'll prove ourselves to be faithful in the big things. If we understand the basics, the little things, the things that sometimes we tend to overlook, really the specifics of what we are to do, and we're faithful in those things, then in the final analysis, we will be found faithful in the greater things. And so we see, first of all, that as messengers of God, we need to be faithful to the message that we have been given. To the message that we've been given. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, we see these words, Titus 1 and verse 9, Paul says to Timothy that he's to be holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That we recognize that the Word of God is faithful, that someone trusts in what the Word says and they're never going to be led astray, that the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It always has been, it always will be, and that's never going to change. And we realize the Gospel is what people need. That it is, and we see as it talks about that because it is faithful, we're to hold fast. We're to be faithful to the Word, to the message of the Word. And we see how it continues on there, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And ones that are gainsayers are ones that are always contradictory, that are always trying to bring up an argument rather than accept what is plain. And it's the idea through sound doctrine, as a person lays out the scriptures to show what it is that can exhort them, can challenge them, and even convince them. And we can think of different ones we've maybe run across where try to talk to them and they just seem like they want to make an argument, but then as you get to it at a certain point, and sometimes it seems a long time to get to that point, but then suddenly it's like they realize they don't know what to say, that they're not mocking anymore, they're not contradictory. They're actually saying, okay, this actually has merit. This is more than what I thought it was. And so that's the thing, is that it's by holding fast to the Word, knowing the truth, being able to rightly divide the Word of truth, so that we can minister to people in that way. We can challenge their thinking. We can convince others that are of the error of their thinking, if they're not willing to accept the gospel, but we make it clear to them that you need to accept the gospel. It's your only hope. You cannot save yourself by your own good works. That we work with them in that and show them the truth. We see as well the following statements in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Paul says to Timothy, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we are charged to be faithful to the Word and to the preaching of the Word. And we would say that we live in a time much like what is described in the latter verses, that where many don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear something that makes them feel good. And so they'll look after and follow after teachers that tell them what they want to hear to make them feel good about themselves. And we have to be wary of that. And all the more we need to stay true to what the Word is. Trying to change our message, trying to water down our message, to get people to come. And it's not going to make it better. It's not going to solve the problem. It's actually going to make it worse. That people need to know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Giving them less of the truth is not going to be the way that will lead them to coming to the Lord. And so we need to be faithful to the Word. We need to trust that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to convince and to convict men of sin. As it talks about in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 10 and 11, it says, For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so may the Lord help us in this, that no matter what happens, whether someone, as we share with them God's word, that they receive it with gladness, or they reject it even with violence, may the Lord help us to be faithful to His word. Then secondly, as messengers of the Lord, we need to be faithful in our conduct. It is not only what we say, but also what we live that determines our faithfulness as messengers of the Lord. You could picture it this way, that God's word is essentially the picture that we want everyone to see, and we are the frame in which people see that picture. That you don't generally notice the frame of a picture if it's a good frame, because its whole purpose is to accentuate the picture itself. But if you have a frame that is gaudy, a frame that is cracked or chipped, that's when you notice it. And the reason is because it detracts from what the picture is that it's holding. And that's the idea, that the truth that we want people to see, the truth of God, they see it through us, through how we live and act. And as we learned last week, that we are to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That adorn it, that we accentuate it, that we don't have anything that would ever detract from it, that would cause someone to think less highly of the gospel and of the Lord because of the way we who bear His name, we who are His messengers, act. And we're to, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, if you turn there with me, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, Philippians 2, beginning in verse 14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And is that thought that we are to hold forth the word of life so that people can receive it and come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. But it's also, we have the sense that we are to hold the word of life while living a life that is blameless and harmless. That we're being the sons of God, not in title only, but in truth as well. That we're having been conformed to His image, that we're a reflection of His image to other people, that they see Christ through us. And we are shining as lights in the world, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in the midst of a world that's in the darkness of sin. That's the thought. Those around us rely upon our light to guide them to the true light, to their haven of rest. And for that reason, our light must not flicker. It must not grow dim. But rather, as it's spoken of in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And that is the thought, as we grow in Christ, as we mature in Him, as He works in us and we become more and more like Him, that our light shines more and more each day. And so we need to be faithful as messengers of God in letting our light shine. God is shining in our hearts, and He commands each of us to shine through the darkness of this world through deeds of justice, deeds of love and compassion and mercy. And once again, that faithfulness in letting our light shine comes as we are faithful in the little things, the everyday things. Being guided by God to be a blessing to others, to recognize the needs of others, seek to meet those needs, having awareness of other people and seeing how can I show God's love to these people. I think too often in the everyday things we get too focused on ourselves and our agenda of what we want to get done. And if someone seems to impede us accomplishing those things, we show our frustration. But as it says here, we think all things are to be done without murmurings and disputings, without complaining, without causing a big fight. And it's so that we may be blameless and harmless. And so what harm, we think, can we cause through our momentary fits of impatience with other people? If instead we're to show the long-suffering of the Lord with people, that they, even though they can be frustrating, that we still love them. And that's something I remember with Malia's dad at his funeral, that it was kind of, because of course we knew the people in the church, and Malia being the pastor's daughter kind of knew different people that he had to deal with, usually kind of more often than maybe might have preferred to. But it was interesting at his funeral, because the ones that kind of, it would seem, gave him the most trouble were the ones that actually loved him the most and appreciated the most, because he was willing to be patient with them. And that's the thing, is that when we learn to be patient with other people, we're to be patient to all men, but especially the ones that might be contrary, and we take them through and help show them the truth, that's what we're to do as representatives, that we want to make sure we get the message across, and we don't want anything that we do to obscure that message. that we get frustrated with them, and that frustration prevents them from seeing what we really want to share with them. And so we're Christ's representatives, and we're Christ's ambassadors, and we recognize it isn't something where it's just kind of an 8-to-5 thing that we do, that we're ambassadors all day, every day. And so may the Lord help us to be faithful in the way we conduct ourselves, in ways that are becoming to us as messengers of the Lord. And finally, we recognize that as messengers of the Lord, we want to be faithful in our proclamation of the Word. The proclamation of the Word. That we're not sent by God simply to hand out the Word to people, and not simply to live the Word before people. We also need to proclaim His Word, that He wants us to teach all nations, preach the gospel to every creature. And it declares in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And it's the idea that God has determined that preaching would be how people come to the knowledge of the Lord. That as God's word is shared, that as they hear the words of life, and as the Spirit of God speaks to their heart, that as they believe on it, they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. And we think just with, for an instance, with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, that the Ethiopian eunuch had the Word of God in front of him, the book of Isaiah, and he was trying to figure out what it all meant. And Philip came to him and said, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "Well, how can I except someone guide me?" And so that's exactly what Philip did. He got up into the chariot, and from the passage that he was reading, and he asked, "Well, what does this all mean? Is it the prophet speaking of himself or of another man?" And Philip began at that passage, which we recognize to be Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. He broke it down to his understanding, made it plain to them. And that's the idea, that with many people, that they don't usually understand what they read, and probably our own selves, different times, if we, before we got saved, trying to read the Bible, and even after we're saved, sometimes trying to read the Bible, you get these big words and you wonder, what does this all mean? What is it saying? That having someone to come alongside to bring the word down to their understanding, that's what our job is as messengers of the Lord. That it would be kind of the thing, like, what good would it be if a messenger came and presented a message, but it was in a totally different language that nobody understood? That if it's, especially if we think of it as a warning for judgment, if they can't understand what he's trying to present, he hasn't completed his job. And so it's that thought that as messengers, we want to bring it to their understanding one way or another. And it's kind of interesting, just in kind of the history of many areas of this world, in terms of people trying to reach people with the gospel, that so often they come to a group of people and they don't actually have any kind of written language. And so these people that are missionaries, that they spend years basically developing for this group of people their own written language, for the express purpose of being able to translate the Bible into their language so that then they can understand it and bring it down to their understanding. And so we think of that, that in everything that we do, that we may not be in a position where we have to translate it in that way, but there is things that we have to try to break down so that people can receive it. And we see the testimony of Paul under the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 18, he says these words, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see a faithfulness there that from the whole time that he was there, he was faithful to them. He didn't neglect to give them anything that was important, anything that was profitable to them. And he showed them and taught them that publicly in a setting and then from house to house and testifying what we understand to be just the basics of how someone comes to Christ is repentance and faith. And it's, we see further down in verse 26 and verse 27, it says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so for Paul to be able to say that he was pure from the blood of all men, that's a sign of his consistency, a sign of his faithfulness. And his example serves as a challenge to us all. He was faithful in much, and we can recognize it was because he was faithful in least, just in the everyday, in the small everyday things of sharing God's truth as the Lord provide him opportunity. And thus it's the same for us, that we may not always give people all the teachings of Scripture in one sitting. That hardly ever happens. It's not even really possible. But, and we think even with Christ, where he said to his disciples, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." But nevertheless, as we're faithful in declaring the truth, line upon line, precept upon precept, and as we share things with a person, we hold nothing back from them that is profitable to them, and that in time that we can come to see the fruit of the seed that we have faithfully planted, faithfully watered. And we understand that it is God that gives the increase, but we have a part in that, in being faithful. And when we see the harvest that is produced in time to come, that we rejoice with him for that and thank him that we could just be a part of his great work that he has done. And so in this area, as in all other areas that we've talked about so far, may the Lord find us faithful for our sakes, for the sake of those around us who need to hear God's message of salvation, and for the sake of our Master and Lord who has sent us forth as his messengers, as part of his mission of mercy. So may we be faithful messengers of the Lord, faithful in word, faithful in life and in action, that we might rejoice as God works to bring others unto himself. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. We pray you would just enable us, Lord, in this and these and so many other areas, Lord, that we might be faithful unto you in what you have called us to do. May you use us for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one more hymn.